Welcome to episode 524 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. How's it going, Josh?
It's going really well. The weather is absolutely perfect.
Indeed.
It's so weird.
Happy summer.
Oh, man. It's like summer in San Diego, though. It's like mid-70s, maybe-ish. Like, it's really nice. I'm loving it.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, I expect that I'm going to have some pretty stinking hot weather this weekend, so we're getting summer hard because, you know, it's kind of like that around here.
Yeah, and it gets super humid out on the East Coast, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, people don't want to hear about the weather, so why don't we jump right into a little bit of feedback? This first one, this might be maybe the first time we've ever gotten feedback sent to us through Xbox Live.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is really to you. He says, "Hey, Josh, I know you primarily game on Xbox, but have you tried any games on PC purchased from the Microsoft Store? I'm experimenting a bit with the cross-platform features between PC and Xbox. Currently playing Children of Morta and Quantum Break. So far, I'm impressed. Save games sync up automatically as do achievements, etc. This feels like a real potential differentiator between the Xbox and PlayStation platforms, assuming Microsoft continues to invest in the PC. And as a longtime PlayStation guy, this is one of those things that could sway me to more strongly consider the Xbox when the new consoles arrive. Though, to be fair, I'm pretty excited for both the Series X and the PS5. Anyway, thanks for the continued great podcast. It's one of those things that have made 2020 bearable." Aw, thanks, Alex.
Yeah, that's always nice to hear that we're making the weirdest year in history a little bit more bearable for people. At least in our history.
Yeah, in our history.
Yeah, so Alex is checking out Game Pass Ultimate, and the really cool thing, of course, about Game Pass Ultimate being that you get access to a bunch of games on both Xbox and PC. So I'm not even sure that he has an Xbox. I think he's just playing these games on PC, and he's picked a couple of good ones. I've not played Children of Morta, but I've heard really good things about it. I did play Quantum Break and absolutely loved it. And he's absolutely right. The way that Microsoft is doing the thing where your save games and all of your achievements and all of your progress and all that stuff is totally transferable from Xbox to PC and back, and you can just pick up on whatever platform you want to play and keep going, is awesome. And by the way, that also works for Project xCloud. So that's three potential places that you could be playing these games. There's one little caveat there. That functionality does not work for every single game. It has to be an Xbox Play Anywhere game for it to fully support all of that. And not every game in Game Pass is an Xbox Play Anywhere game. I mean, not even every game that's in Game Pass is available on both platforms. There are some that are only on Xbox and some that are only on PC. But it is really awesome. And I agree with Alex. I keep saying these things that Game Pass Ultimate, Project X Cloud, all of these service-based things that Microsoft is doing, I think give it a really big advantage over PlayStation, and why I think a lot of people should really be considering the Xbox Series X over the PlayStation 5, especially in the first year, because you're just going to have so many things to play. Like, if you just buy a Series X and a Game Pass subscription at launch, you're going to have a brand new Halo game to play, plus a couple of hundred other games to play that'll all work on your Series X that are, you know, previous Xbox One or 360 or even original Xbox games, that'll all also run better on your Xbox Series X. So yeah, 2020, it's going to be a real interesting year for the console wars. Hopefully in every other way, it's going to be a less interesting year going forward, but that's probably not going to be the case.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
All right, I'll handle this other message too. It's a follow-up from Zach. We had read a message from him last week where we thought he had said that he hadn't received the latest update. Well, no, he had a typo in that email. He has received the May and June updates on his Xbox Ones, both of them, but he hadn't figured out why the guide hadn't switched the order for him so that, like, the main Xbox logo button is at the far left instead of in the middle, that sort of thing. So I can't really explain why it didn't move. All I can do is guess, because I've had it now for like a month and a half, and I don't remember if I changed it right away or if it changed by default, but either way, you can fix it because it's totally customizable. If you go to, press the Xbox guide button to bring up that section that you want to change, go all the way to the right, assuming that all the way to the right is where your little player avatar icon is. It's the section that also has the settings option. In there is an option called Customize Guide Tabs. Go there and it'll bring up a screen that shows all five or six of the different tabs there. And you can just click one, click move, and move it wherever you want. That's all you got to do. So I don't know why I didn't transfer. I would have thought that it would have copied those settings from machine to machine, but maybe this is one of those things that doesn't sync up across consoles, which is kind of dumb if that's the case. Yeah, but that should get you going, Zach. So hopefully that'll fix your problem.
All right. Well, that is it for our feedback. You can always send us feedback at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com.
Look at you getting it correct, like super pedantic correct this time.
Well, I knew you would, be upset if I didn't. Hopefully people won't spell out zero. All right, moving on. We are going to feature this week news from Apple, because this is the week of Apple's developer conference, WWDC. It is not taking place in San Jose this year. It is taking place right at home, at your desk, or on your back porch, or maybe wherever you happen to be watching something on the device of your choice. And I have to say, they are doing a damn good job with this. I have not watched or attended conference stuff from other companies. So, I don't know how the gaming keynotes were. I don't know how anything else has been so far from other companies in terms of keynotes or presentations, but what Apple is doing is amazing. The keynote was probably better than it normally would be, and they put some serious production value into it. They also have a lot to talk about in many different platforms, and we're going to talk about a couple right now. So obviously, we're interested in the entertainment-specific news. So the big news really is that there are some updates that are going to make Apple TV a whole lot nicer for people who use that platform. Something that folks have been waiting for a while is picture-in-picture. So now, if you've been watching something on video and you want to maybe push that off to the side or into a corner while you go into something like, an exercise app or a news app or something like that on your Apple TV, you can do that. You can continue to watch your streaming media or your movie or whatever you happen to have had on, and you'll be able to do other things in other apps. That's a really nice feature. Hasn't been available on the Apple TV. It has been available on iPads for a while. They're also bringing this feature to iPhones. So you'll be able to have on your phone a floating picture of video in progress if you leave a video app and then go do other stuff on your phone, which is kind of cool.
That is awesome. I have that on my Samsung Android tablet, and it's really nice.
Yeah, that's a nice feature. I wonder how much use that will get on phones. I wasn't that excited about it because I don't watch a whole lot of video on my phones. But, our friend Chris Milligan, his daughter, she was so excited about this. Like, she wanted to go to the beta now because she wants this feature. So, I'm not a 16-year-old girl. I wouldn't know.
So I got a quick question for you about this because I didn't watch the keynote. I don't know that I even could. Don't they still do the thing where like you have to be on an Apple device to even watch this stuff?
Or I think if you use Safari on another platform, you can watch it on Safari.
Safari isn't on any other platforms. Safari is not on Windows.
Really? I thought that they had put it on Windows. Did they no longer do that? Okay. Well,
no.
All right. No. Never mind.
So the picture-in-picture mode, do developers have to do a bunch of work to support this, or is this going to work for like every app that's already on Apple TV?
It's my understanding that if you use their standard player, and here's the advantage of Apple TV, we talked about this an episode or two ago, that the Apple TV player is consistent across different apps. So it's my understanding that if you're using that player, then this will apply to your application. Applications that do something different, like, for example, Plex, may not be able to do this.
Okay.
I don't know the answer to that.
And if it was like a game or some other, like a news app, like you recommended or whatever, those probably couldn't be in the small window.
Right. We're only talking about streaming video.
Okay. That's still cool.
It is cool. And it's also going to work with AirPlay. So you could AirPlay something to your TV and have it in a corner so that it's not actually interrupting what's on the big screen. Again, really cool.
It is cool.
Now, you may want to...
This will work with two videos at the same time, right?
It didn't demonstrate that. So I honestly don't know. I have not loaded the beta for the Apple TV update onto any of my Apple TVs. That is something I will try.
Okay, because I'm wondering if, like, could you have the NBC Sports app, which I assume there's one on Apple TV, playing a hockey game while the ESPN app is streaming a baseball game?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. But that's an interesting use case and not that far-fetched, right?
So, yeah.
All right, I will look into that. Now, you may want that AirPlay video to be full screen, though, because before now, you haven't been able to stream 4K over AirPlay to your Apple TV. And with this update that will come out in the fall, you will also have that ability. So now, since your phone already takes 4K videos, it'd be nice to be able to watch it on your 4K TV, on your Apple TV 4K in 4K. You'll be able to do that now.
At what resolution? I wasn't quite sure.
I think it's 4K.
Okay, cool. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be good. All right. So, continuing on Apple TV, we have an update that will allow YouTube to finally stream in
4K. Wait, let me guess. 4K.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that supposedly this isn't coming out until the tvOS 14, the update for tvOS and Apple TV, comes out in the fall. I don't really understand why. I'm not quite sure what that's about. Because there are plenty of other 4K apps. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, one more thing on the Apple TV front, and that is that the Apple TV Plus service is going to be coming to Vizio and Sony TVs this summer. Josh, I thought this was there already.
It's on some TVs. It's on Samsung TVs, but I thought it was on Vizio already. I didn't think it was on Sony yet, but you would have probably known better than me because I'm sure it would have been talked about at CES.
Well, and we now have this naming confusion. It could be a difference between Apple TV, the app,
which might
already be on these platforms, versus Apple TV Plus, the service, which may not have been included in those apps when they were, I don't know. It could be that.
Right. Yeah. It just confused me by the naming. Right. Yeah. I would have assumed that any platform that had the Apple TV app would have just automatically had Apple TV Plus.
I would have assumed that too, but maybe not for whatever reason. Maybe because of when they had built the apps or what have you, they didn't get it all in there. But yeah, the naming is confusing because, of course, it's the Apple TV Plus service that runs inside the Apple TV app that runs on the Apple TV and other TVs. All right, moving on. Still more entertainment news. AirPods Pro. So these are the wireless earbuds that are the new version that are noise canceling as well. They are adding spatial audio support to the AirPods Pro. So they are going to be able to, and I don't know how, they are going to be able to support and produce something that your brain is going to perceive as Dolby Surround or even Dolby Atmos coming from above you as well as around you in a 360 field. And here is what's so friggin' cool about this. The positioning of the audio will be anchored relative to the source of the video.
That's so super cool.
If you move your tablet, or if you turn your head, or if you're on a plane and the plane banks and your tablet and your head are both moving together, it keeps everything in sync in terms of the position in audio. That is so friggin' cool.
That's really cool.
Now, it is possible to use AirPods with an Apple TV. So I don't know, but I would imagine that you could potentially use these with your Apple TV and also have that same anchored spatial audio experience.
Awesome.
Yep. All right. Still on the Apple TV side, we have some gaming news. And this is kind of interesting because they talked about how you could now do something in gaming that you've been able to do on Apple TV for a while using the control center. I have never before today even seen the control center on my Apple TV. And the reason is that you get there by pressing and holding the TV button on the otherwise really terrible Apple TV remote. So it's not just a press, which you can program what that would call up, but it is a press and hold. Well, I don't really use that remote. I use my universal remote from Harmony, and press and hold on a button on Harmony doesn't equate to press and hold on that same button on the originating remote. You decide when you set up the Harmony what press and hold on any button is actually going to do. So I've never seen this menu, but apparently you can switch between users. And there are some other things that you can do real quickly, which is nice if you have different, for example, different profiles in video services and you don't want what your kids watch mixing with what you watch or your spouse or partner watches. They're extending that to games now, which is really cool because that means that you'll be able to switch between you or someone else in your household. And then instantly in whatever game you're in or in the game center, you'll switch back to all of your preferences, your achievements, your friends. That's who's going to show up and be available in the games and in the game center. So that's a nice feature.
Yeah, it kind of seems like a feature I would have expected to have been there a long time ago.
Well, you have to remember that most Apple devices that aren't Macs just generally aren't good at the concept of users.
Mm, okay.
So the fact that you could even do this at all before and I missed it entirely?
Right.
Yeah. All right. So one other thing on gaming, they're adding support for the Xbox Elite 2 controller and the Xbox Adaptive controller. That's really cool. So that more people will have access to and be able to play games in Apple Arcade and any other game available on Apple using those controllers. And then finally, just worth a mention, there are some good experience updates. I would argue some, like, it's about time that there are some good experience updates for both music and photos on iOS and iPad. I think both of those platforms have kind of been lacking in those areas, and I'm happy to see that they're going to be improving those pretty substantially as well. And that is it for the relevant Apple updates.
Right. There was like a million other things announced, but
oh yeah,
these are the ones that matter here.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to talk about ARM-based laptops here.
No, we aren't, but that was way cooler than I expected it to be. And they had some home news about the stuff that's going on in HomeKit. And if you're interested in what they talked about there, we will cover that for the next episode of Home On, and we'll cover that in the next episode of the Smart Home Show.
Cool. All right, so let's move on to our regular video news. Thank you for covering all of that Apple stuff. I tried to put some notes just for our listeners. Like, I tried to put in some notes for the Apple stuff, but I didn't watch all this stuff, and I don't have any experience using it. Like, I don't think I've ever actually used an Apple TV in my entire life. So,
yeah.
I can't speak intelligently to any of this stuff. So thanks for doing the work to figure out what's going on there and sharing it with all of our listeners.
Of course.
Cool. All right. So I think a lot of this stuff, the rest of the news here is going to be pretty quick stuff. So this first one is from Peacock. It is yet another streaming service that Richard loves to hate on. It is, if you're not sure, what the heck is Peacock? Like that doesn't sound, that's got to be something brand new from some service I've never heard of before. No, this is NBC's streaming service. It's coming out July 15th, and they've kind of been slowly every single day, it seems. Let's put out another press release, and this one will say, you know, some new set of devices that this thing will work on. And so we already knew that it was going to work on Apple devices. We already knew back in May they announced that Peacock was going to be available on basically all Apple devices and fully integrated into Apple TV, which means that like you can add your favorite shows and all of that cool stuff that Apple TV does if the apps are built to support it. And Peacock is one of them, so that's good. But the news here is basically that Peacock is also coming to all of your Google-based stuff. So it's going to be on Android. It's going to be on Android TV, and it'll support Chromecast, of course. So as a quick reminder, like I said, it comes out the 15th of July, so less than a month away at this point. There are kind of three tiers to this service. There is a completely free tier, and if you're on Android, you're actually going to get a free trial of the premium tier, which would regularly be $4.99 a month. You'll get a free trial up through October 15th, and then it goes up to $4.99 a month. And then they've also got an add-on option that removes all of the ads. It makes it an ad-free experience if you pay an extra $5. So the free tier has about 7,500 hours of content. The premium tier has double the amount of content, but it's $5 and then ad-free for another $5 more. So, Richard, I assume you're still not at all interested in this service.
No, I have no interest in this whatsoever.
They're going to have The Office.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be the only place that has The Office.
Okay, I'm never planning on rewatching it. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it's not one of those series where I'm like, oh, I need to watch that again. That was awesome because it was timeless. No.
It was fairly timeless. And You could watch it while listening to the Office Ladies podcast.
I could.
That's what Jen's
I'm
been
not
doing.
Going to do that.
Right. Because you're already really far behind on your podcast.
I have too many podcasts already, and I have too much content to watch. I don't need more.
Right. So our other news story is about another streaming service that I can pretty much guarantee that Richard won't be signing up for. And that's Fubo TV. We've talked about it a little bit recently. Fubo TV is the online streaming cable alternative, I think is a good way of describing these services, like Sling TV or YouTube TV or Hulu with live TV. It's that sort of service. But Fubo TV really focuses on sports. And they've always been the place that's had the most of all of the different sports services, except they've been missing one tiny, tiny little chunk of the sports universe that you've probably never even heard of, ESPN. They're finally getting it. And this is huge news. So they're getting a bunch of stuff from ESPN / Disney / ABC. It's all the same company, right? So they're getting ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN3. In addition to that, they're getting SEC Network, ACC Network, ABC, ABC News Live. Here's where it starts to be not Disney ABC. They're getting FX.
It is.
FX is... Oh, right, because they bought Fox, too.
Right.
Jeez, they own everything. Yeah. So they're also getting FX and FXX, Disney Channel, Disney Junior, Disney XD, and then Freeform and National Geographic. All of this stuff is coming to Fubo TV. And you might be thinking, okay, well, how much extra is that going to cost me? How's none dollars sound? Because all of this is going to be in the standard package for $55 a month. This is pretty awesome. Like if I were really looking for a cable alternative streaming service, this is probably the one I would end up getting. They've got everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But this is, you know, content that should have been there. This is stuff, at least with Disney Channel, FX, National Geographic, that sort of stuff should have been there already. So I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't. Obviously, they just didn't have the deal in place with Disney yet. So now they do, and that's good.
Yeah, it is good. But they should have had this stuff, but I don't think there's any other service that has this stuff plus the majority of the other sports stuff that they offer for this price.
I think that's right. I think by including all of it in that $55 package, I might wonder if the combination of orange and blue from Sling would include most of this, though. I don't know. I think you might have to add a kids package to get all of these other, like the Disney Junior, Disney XD, and Freeform.
Right. And it probably doesn't include SEC Network, ACC Network, you know, that sort of stuff.
Quite possibly. I honestly didn't even notice the way too many sports channels that were in the pack that I had before. So I couldn't tell you what was there.
Too many sports channels.
Yeah.
Never. If you were a big time college football fan, you would understand why we need so many sports channels, because there's like 100 college football games on every Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
You got to be able to watch them somehow.
I'm only watching Penn State's if it's on.
All right, one quick audio story for you, and this one is from Spotify, my music streaming service of choice. They're bringing back the Summer Rewind playlist, and it's your Summer Rewind, which is a fun little feature. It is tracks that you streamed the most during the summers of 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And I think this is really cool, and I'm wondering if my wife, Jen, has noticed this yet, because Jen, I'm sure she's not the only one like this, but she is the type of person who there are particular music genres that she listens to in the winter and particular music genres that she tends towards in the summer. Like winter is for more like folksy and definitely more like melancholy kind of music. And then summer is like lots of country music and just more upbeat sort of stuff like that. So I think she the look I'm getting from you that our podcast listeners can't see right now.
Right, because I'm thinking that seems exactly opposite, because it's just reinforcing winter doldrums. Why would you do that? I don't understand. All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Just makes sense, I guess. But
okay.
So to have a playlist that's just like, yeah, these are the songs that we listened to last year or a couple of years ago. And for her, it would be like, oh yeah, we listened to this song a lot on that vacation we took 2 years ago and stuff. And that's the sort of stuff that music, the type of impact music can have on you. So I think that's really cool.
Yep.
The other thing that they're doing that I almost definitely won't be checking out is a summer predictions playlist, and this is music that they think will be, you know, the biggest tunes of the summer. And the article that we're going to link to, it's from Engadget, that they wrote about this, said, you know, so it'll probably have songs from this artist and that artist and this artist. They rattled off like four artists. I'd heard of one of them. Like, I just don't listen to a lot of this really popular stuff, I guess. I don't know. So
yeah,
it's cool. Like, if you're into really mainstream music, it's probably going to be a cool playlist. But frankly, it's probably going to sound a whole lot like your local top 40 pop station, right? Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that they would also be featuring like some new artists in there too, like trying to get some exposure for some new artists, but who knows?
That'd be cool. So if you're wondering if you have to be a paid premium subscriber for Spotify for this stuff, you're in luck. You don't need to be. It's available on free and premium accounts. So go and check that out on Spotify.
Nice.
On to gaming. One quick but sad but rather predictable story.
Inevitable.
Yeah. But one that directly impacts us right here. Right now, and our normal Tuesday night production, Microsoft is shutting down Mixer. Mixer is Microsoft's competitor to Twitch. They bought a service called Beam back in, I believe it was 2016. And it's always had, back at the time when they bought it, the main thing that Beam did so much better than Twitch was it has ultra low latency. You know, if you've ever watched our show live, which we use Mixer to broadcast, you know that when you type a message to us in the chat, we see it. Like, we see it right away, obviously, because it's just text, but that we respond right away because you get like less than a second of delay from when Richard and I are talking to when you're actually seeing it. Back in 2016, that was not the case for Twitch. Now, I think Twitch has done a lot to reduce their latency, but back then it was like a 30-second delay with Twitch, which is just crazy. Like, I don't know how Twitch streamers were able to have conversations with people in the chat room with 30-second delays. That's insane.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And that was the real advantage of Mixer. Now, that's less important for us, and we'll be able to find a new home. There are other options. We'll probably end up on Twitch, but that's not where they're sending people.
No, it's not. And that's because Twitch is owned by Amazon, and Amazon is a pretty big competitor to Microsoft. Facebook, not so much. And Facebook also has a pretty big presence in gaming, but not nearly the same sort of notoriety or maybe even visibility as Twitch. But people are using Facebook for groups and all that sort of stuff. And there is a lot of gaming functionality that is being built into Facebook. So Mixer is sort of going to Facebook, but I don't even completely understand what that means, because they're not giving them the technology. Microsoft is hanging on to the technology. So, but they are basically saying, go there. They're going to have all of our stuff. They're going to have some of our people. We're definitely going to have some Project X Cloud integration for stuff going on over there. But the Project X Cloud, it's not going to be some sort of exclusive partnership where you can only access Project X Cloud through Facebook. They're just going to, I don't know, promote it more, have more direct tie-ins with it, I guess. But they're not forcing any of these, well, any streamers, but even the, you know, the really big ones. Like, they backed up a money truck to Ninja to bring him over to to Mixer. And he's not even the only one. They paid millions of dollars to get a handful of streamers to switch over to Mixer. And now, and within the last year.
Yeah. I have to wonder how much of this wasn't accelerated by the pandemic, that they threw all of this money at these gamers and personalities to bring them into the platform. They threw it up into Xbox as, you know, fully integrated. It was its own friggin' tab, and still nobody used it. Now, obviously that's hyperbole because people were using it, but they just didn't see the numbers that they wanted to get from it to make it worthwhile for them. And then you have everybody staying home, so you would expect it to go through the roof.
Right. And Twitch went through the roof. And Mixer didn't.
Right.
Yeah. All of the big live concerts and stuff, all of them are on Twitch. None of them are on Mixer.
Right. So, exactly.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate. It sounds like, I think it's a pretty safe bet that, like, Ninja and all those guys, they're going to go to Twitch. They're not going to go to Facebook, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So the one other thing that some people, you know, if there are, like, Mixer fanatics out there, some of them probably listen to the show, because we've got a lot of Microsoft fanatics that listen to the show. So if you've purchased Ember or Sparks, I don't even know what this stuff is. It is a currency that you can give to streamers and stuff like that, to essentially pay them for being awesome. All of that, like, any that you don't spend by the time that this gets shut down on July 22nd, Microsoft is going to credit you. They're going to give you an Xbox gift card to credit you for those Embers and Sparks. So that's good. You're not going to be losing your money. You know, go and buy a game with that money, I guess. I wonder if that also applies, like, if you're a Mixer streamer and you've been given those, you could probably get a gift card for that stuff too. But like I said, I'm just not big into the streaming stuff, so I don't know how all of these different systems work exactly. But there you go. So that's it for our gaming news, and really that's it for all of our news. Before we head on into what's going on in our entertainment centers, we just want to take a moment to ask you, if you like this show, then please share it with a friend, share it on social, maybe post a screenshot, share, you know, just tell your friends, and, you know, text your friends, whatever. Just share it with people that you think might be interested. They can find us pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're even on Spotify now. So pretty much anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find us. So let some other people know. All right, Richard, what's going on in your entertainment center?
All right, well, I'm going to start with something that's mildly related to entertainment, because it will be used occasionally as an entertainment device when I travel, and that is that I finally bought a new MacBook Pro. I have been using the old MacBook Air from my old company. It's about 6 years old now.
Oof.
Well, let's just say it's not very good at encoding anything. So I definitely needed to get something new and updated. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And I finally pulled the trigger and did it just last week. And it arrived from Shanghai in 4 days. Now, compare that to my TiVo purchase, which took approximately 4 weeks to get here. You know,
yeah.
Who knows? Different services. Don't use FedEx. All right, my opinion. In terms of stuff I've actually been watching, I continue to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and keeping up with that. New episode tonight, so I'll be watching that. Watched another episode of Heartstrings. I finished episode 3, so now I am caught up to where I had been before on Jack Ryan. And I am really, really enjoying that now that I'm actually paying attention. I finished the BBC series Class, only to learn again that there is no season 2. And of course, they left us with some cliffhangers, but it was still good because it was a story out of the Doctor Who universe. And I enjoy that whole lore. So I enjoyed the series regardless. Politician. A series that I was watching on Netflix, I believe last year, season 2 just started. So I watched the first episode of that. It looks like it's going to be really, really good. So I'm looking forward to getting into that more. And we continue to watch a little bit more of What We Do in the Shadows. I watched a few more episodes of season 6 of Archer. And we started, this is one that you can just kind of pick and choose what looks interesting, but there's this series of shorts on Disney Plus called One Day at Disney Shorts. And the differentiation there is that there is a movie called One Day at Disney that follows like 10 different people and their careers in the Disney company. Very different types of jobs, very different lives, and the types of things that they do there. There's also a book, like a coffee table size book, One Day at Disney, that does a similar thing. So this is kind of a thing that they've been doing. I believe they're coming out with like one or two of these every week, and there's going to be about 50 of them. So they've been kind of interesting, interviewing all kinds of people. Someone that I watched one where someone worked at Animal Kingdom as an animal feeder. There's another one with Robin Roberts from ABC News. There's another one with Bob Iger. So it's really good stories and interviews with these people. I think it's enjoyable to anybody who's a kind of a Disney, inside Disney fanatic like I am. And then finally, in the old movie genre, we watched what I believe was the original War of the Worlds movie, colorized. So that was just as weird as I remember it.
Huh. I'm sure I've never seen it. What did you watch it on?
I don't know what service it was on, actually. Oh, yeah. No, I do, actually. We watched it through Canopy.
Oh, that's that streaming service that's like through the library or something?
Yeah, the free streaming service through the library. Yep.
Huh. So what made you watch this?
Edward picked it out. I don't know.
He was just browsing the Canopy library?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys use Canopy a lot?
I mean, it's on my top two rows.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff in there.
Huh. I've never actually checked it out.
You
interesting.
Totally do that.
Especially for free.
Your library probably offers it.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Worth looking into. All right. Well, if you haven't been watching Canopy, what have you been doing in your entertainment center, Josh?
Well, not much watching of anything really at all. In terms of games, a fair amount of Call of Duty, a little bit of NHL, a little bit of new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe with Gia, my 7-year-old. But not a ton of gaming. It's been a really, really busy week or so. In audiobooks, I finished Throne of Glass. That was the book that Jen really wanted me to read. It was good. Like, I mean, I don't love fantasy stuff, but this is a good story. And I mean, there were only a couple of things that I wasn't super crazy about, but they were both things that were like really minor. So it really wasn't a big deal at all. There's a bunch of books. I think she said there's at least 5 or 6 books. I don't even know. There's a bunch of books in the series. So I've got more to read, but I've been reading some nonfiction stuff. I had to finish, I don't remember. It was a book that I was reading for essentially a book club that we do at work and, you know, stuff like that. So also I actually try and keep up on my podcast, unlike you. I mean, I guess you try to keep up on your podcast. But I actually do. And one of the ways that I do that, Richard, is I just choose not to listen to some episodes. You just aren't able to do that.
Yeah, no.
So you've probably been wondering about this last bullet point for as long as you've been looking at this list of things going on in my entertainment center.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
I labeled this bullet point Apple stuff. And this is not actually anything I've been doing, but it is stuff that I've been thinking about. There's a lot of really cool Apple stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really cool Apple stuff. And for a few months, I've been thinking about getting an iPad Pro because it just seems like a way better tablet than the Android tablets, which isn't really saying much. Like, I like Android, but Android on a tablet doesn't really do anything special different right. from the phone experience. It's just a really big phone experience. And that's not great. But there's also, you know, Apple specific stuff. You know, there's a lot of software out there that's only available on iPad. It's not on Android, especially in terms of music related stuff. I play guitar, I dabble in some other music stuff, and I want to do more dabbling in other music stuff. And Apple is where it's at for some of that stuff. Like, I was looking at some stuff for like piano and synthesizer type stuff. And there's a really cool app called Mainstage. You know who makes it? Apple. Apple makes this app. And it is basically the app that like every live keyboard player uses. All of them use Mainstage on a MacBook hooked up to their keyboard. It is a $30 app and it is super powerful and super cool. And it's not on Windows. All of the stuff that you talked about on the Apple TV sounds pretty cool. All of the other stuff that you didn't talk about that's coming to the new versions of iOS, like they're finally getting live tiles, basically. All of this stuff has really got me intrigued. Like, I don't know that I'm going to be rushing out and buying a bunch of Apple hardware. I've really delayed my tablet purchase because now that I'm home constantly, I don't use my tablet nearly as much as I did when I was in the office. Well, and I when I'm playing, like playing guitar outside of my home, I'm playing at church, and church hasn't really been a place where we go for the last 3 months.
Right.
So I haven't really needed it much for that either. So I've delayed the iPad purchase, so I haven't had to actually make that decision yet. And but yeah, I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that's kind of considering a MacBook, and there's a part of me that's, I don't know, looking a little bit closer at the Apple TV stuff now. And my contract or what, you know, my payments are up on my Pixel 3 XL at the end of this year. Like, I don't, like, could 2021 be me jumping headfirst into Apple stuff?
Wait. Are you suggesting even your phone?
I don't, like, if I were to get an iPad and a MacBook, like, it would be kind of insane not to get an iPhone, wouldn't it?
Wow.
I know. So I don't, like, before I would make any of those decisions, I should actually probably use some of these devices. Because like I mentioned earlier, I've never used an Apple TV. I've only used iPads for like a few minutes. I do technically have a work MacBook, but I just boot into Windows. Like, I never use Mac OS. In fact, this right. weekend I was like, I don't know, maybe I should try. And so I booted into Mac OS. I can't remember which version of Mac OS was on it. It was from like 2015. It was super old. High Sierra, I don't know. It was something super old. Is High Sierra even a Mac version? Okay.
It's a thing. That was, I think, maybe two or three versions ago.
I looked it up on Wikipedia. I was five versions behind.
Five. Wow. Five?
That's... I think five. Well, I was 5 years behind. It was from the version that came out in 2015.
Because you never upgraded it, because why would you?
Right, because I got that MacBook in 2015 or early 2016. It must have been early 2016. And I gave Mac OS a chance for about 2 weeks, and I just couldn't do it. I couldn't make my brain work running Mac and having Windows VMs open all the time. I just couldn't get the command and control and all that stuff in my brain.
Yep. And my recommendation for you is, if you're really thinking about a MacBook at some point in time, I would potentially hold off until, depending on what the timeline ends up being, hold off until you could get one of the new Apple Silicon versions of the whatever it is you're looking at, the MacBook.
But are those going to be powerful?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're excited about these things.
I was blown away by them. And the coolest thing, and I don't know why I just didn't see this coming, besides being incredibly performant, they are going to run any and all iOS and iPad apps natively, no extra work required. They're in the store. You just load them and run them on your MacBook.
So you mean like what Microsoft tried to do with Windows 8 years ago and couldn't do?
Right. Is that surprising?
No, of course not. Right. I'm a Microsoft developer. It is not surprising to me at all.
Right. No, exactly. Well, and, you know, I don't know if you noticed or not, but Sinofsky was kind of trolling Apple a little bit with some screenshots of live tiles on the Windows screen, the Windows home screen in particular. And like, oh, yeah, nice idea. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. You're right. It is on mobile devices.
Yes, not on the desktop. Right. No, actually, I don't think the Apple Silicon thing would work for me. I just saw an article today that did say that it won't support boot camp. And
no, it won't. But supposedly, they're going to be able to do some pretty serious emulation. And like I know, again, it's that thing where you would have to maybe use Parallels or something like that, but they showed Parallels running on it.
Oh.
And I think this was this and not iOS 14 specific, but the new Mac OS, but I think they also talked about Docker containers, which is also crazy cool.
That is crazy. I need all of that stuff. I need Windows. I need Docker. Like, those are all things that I use every single day. So,
yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, we'll see. I doubt I'm going to go that route. but we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I'm getting really, really curious. Really curious. And it sounds like I'm not going to be getting a new computer through work until next year, despite the fact that I've had this thing since 2016. So, I don't know. Might just have to try and figure this stuff out on my MacBook Pro old. All right. That's it for what's going on in my entertainment center and in my desk, I guess, in my office. So if you want to get a hold of us, all of our contact information is over there at the website, thedigitalmediazone.com. But you can also find us on Twitter at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone. And Facebook and Instagram and all that other stuff. Richard also mentioned earlier in the show that on a future episode of Home On, he would be talking about some Apple. Now I just blanked on HomeKit, right?
HomeKit
stuff. Home On is his other smart home podcast that he does here at the Digital Media Zone. Richard, I think you just released an episode, didn't you? So what's going on with Home On?
Right. So we had the recent episode with Justin Miller, the CEO of the company that makes Finn, the connected pool monitoring system. That was a fun conversation with him, and I even got in a couple of rants about some bad behavior from some smart home companies. And then coming up, I'm going to be joined by Chris Young. He's a really smart Apple guy, not an Apple employee, but a guy who knows HomeKit stuff inside and out, and we're going to be talking about all the new things in HomeKit and HomeKit devices on iOS 14 and, a little bit of a teaser here, tvOS 14.
Nice.
Because there's HomeKit stuff in tvOS now.
That wasn't already there?
No.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of staying tuned, you can tune into this show live on Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can do that just going to the website, thedigitalmediazone.com/live. And if that's how you've been accessing it, that should continue to work. If you've been going straight to Mixer or watching us through Mixer on your Xbox, that's going to go away soon. We've got our Twitch account. We've just got to get all that stuff set up. That's where we're going to move this show. So I don't know if it'll be next week, but either way, we should be live. We're normally live Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Follow us on Twitter to know for sure when the show is going to be live, though, because we would love to have you there chatting right along with us. So that is going to do it for episode 524. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.